弟兄姐妹早上好。
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
好好，我们很高兴，我们主日再一次的在主的殿中，我们可以相聚。
Glad to see you here on the Sunday morning.
那我跟大家有两个星期没见，所以就是更觉得亲切一点。
Haven't seen you guys for 2 weeks, so it's lovely to see you again.
那我们今天来继续的来一起学习但以理书。
Today we'll continue our study on the book of Daniel.
那前一阵子呢，美国国会通过了一个法案哈。
Last few weeks the Supreme Court passed a bill.
那这个法案呢，就是说要保护同性婚姻的一个法律。
It's a legislation on protecting the same-sex marriage.
因为这个最高法院现在的情形呢，他们就很担心会推翻这个。同性婚姻的法案。
The Supreme Court is concerned that this legislation will be overturned.
那这个法院在众议院已经通过啊。
It's already passed in the.
那在参议院通过的可能性也非常大。
In the House, and it will very likely to be passed in the Senate.
你看，我们可以知道现在美国的这个趋势，是这样子，双方在为了这些同性婚姻呢、堕胎这些问题等等。有一个很大的较量。
So you can see that there is a tug of war between the two parties on issues like same-sex marriage and abortion.
那么随着人心的向背啊，这些政客的立场，他们是可以随时改变的。
But if the voters' view change, so will the attitudes of the politicians will change.
那么现在很多的共和党这个人大部分还是反对这个同性婚姻的。
Most of the Republicans are still against same-sex marriage.
但是这种情况可能会改变。你想，你的选区里面，如果你的选民大部分都是支持的话，你不得不改变立场，不然你不能够连任的。
But you can imagine if they are going to lose their vote because their voters are for the same-sex marriage, then they're going to change their attitude as well.
所以啊，美国呢，大概不久就会步这个欧洲的后尘哈。
So I guess America will soon follow the footsteps of Europe.
所以这大概已经是不大会被能扭转的一个趋势了。
And it will probably be irreversible.
所以我们生活在这样一个历史转变的时代啊。
So we are living such a time that there is such a rapid change in the society.
那么基督徒可能常常会有一种无可奈何的感觉。
Christian might feel frustrated.
所以我们比任何的时候都需要听到上帝的声音。
So more than ever, we need to hear God's voice.
我们都要见证他的作为。
And to witness his work.
那但以理和他的同伴呢，是在那个时代，他的那个时代实际上跟我们是非常相似的啊。
So Daniel lived in a similar time historically.
那知道他的国家已经灭亡了。
The nation is destroyed.
然后他们已经被掳到了巴比伦这个地方。
Israelites are in exile.
完全是在一个异域，在一个外邦的这个影响之下。
They live in a foreign country with their cultural impact.
但是他们在这时候持守信仰的这个信心，我想对我们这个时代的人是一个很好的提醒。
But how they hold on to their faith is a great lesson for us.
好，我们今天来看的这段经文呢，就是在但以理书的第二章。
Today we'll read the scripture in Daniel chapter 2.
如果你有圣经的话呢，请你打开旧约但以理书第二章，我们来看从第24节到49节。
If you have a Bible, please turn to Daniel chapter 2, we'll read verse 24 to 49.
但以理书第二章二十四节，我来读中文 ，Rachel 来读英文。
Pastor will read in Chinese, I'll read in English.
于是但以理进去见雅略，就是王所派灭绝巴比伦哲士的，对他们说：“不要灭绝巴比伦的哲士，求你临我到王面前，我要将梦的讲解告诉王。
Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation.
亚略就急忙将但以理领到王面前，对他说， 我在贝鲁的犹大人中遇见一人，他能将梦的讲解告诉我。
Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said this to him, I have found a man of captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation.
王问称为伯提撒撒的但以理说，你能将我所做的梦和梦的讲解告诉我吗？
The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?
但以理在王面前回答说，王所问的那奥秘是哲士用法术的术士观照的都不能告诉王。
Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king.
只有一位在天上的神能显明奥秘的事，他已将日后必有的事指示尼布甲尼撒王，你的梦和你在床上脑中的意象是这样。
But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these.
王啊，你在床上想到后来的事，那显明奥秘事的主把将来必有的事指示你。
As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come pass after this, and he who reviews secrets has made known to you what will be.
至于那奥秘的事显明给我，并非因我的智慧胜过一切活人，乃为使王知道梦的讲解和心里的思念。
But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart.
王啊，你梦见一个大象，这象甚高，极其光耀，站在你面前，形状甚是可怕。
You, O king, were watching, and behold a great image. This great image whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome.
这象的头是金金的，胸膛和膀臂是银的，肚腹和腰是铜的。
This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, and its belly and thighs of bronze.
腿是铁的，脚是半铁半泥的。
Its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay.
你观看，见有一块非人手凿出来的石头，打在这像半铁半泥的脚上，把脚砸碎。
You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces.
于是金银铜铁泥都一同砸得粉碎，诚如夏天禾场上的糠坯被风吹散，无处可寻，打碎这像的石头，变成一座大山，充满天下。
Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And a stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth.
这就是那梦。我们在王面前要讲解那梦。
This is a dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king.
王啊，你是诸王之王，天上的王已将国度、权柄、能力、尊荣都赐给你。
You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory.
凡世上所住之地的走兽，并天上的飞鸟，他都交付你手。使你掌管这一切，你就是那金头。
And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold.
在你以后必另兴一国，不及于你，又有第三国，就是铜的，必掌管天下。
But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth.
第四国必坚壮如铁，铁能打碎克制百物，又能压碎一切，那国也必打碎压制列国。
And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others.
你既见像的脚和脚趾头，一半是窑匠的泥，一半是铁，那国将来也必分开。你既见铁与泥掺杂，那国也必有铁的力量。
Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay.
那脚趾头既是半铁半泥，那国也必半强半弱。
And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile.
你既见铁与泥掺杂，那国也必与各种人掺杂，却不能彼此相合，正如铁与泥不能相合一样。
As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay.
当那列王在位的时候，天上的神必另立一国，永不败坏，也不归别的国，却要打碎灭绝那一切的国，这国必存到永远。
And in the days of these kings of God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
你既看见非人手凿出来的一块石头从山而出，打碎金银铜铁泥，那就是至大的神把后来必有的事给王指明，这梦准是这样，这讲解也是确实的。
Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure.
当时尼布甲尼撒王伏伏在地向但以理下拜，并且吩咐人给他奉上贡物和香品。
The king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him.
王对但以理说，你既能显明这奥秘的事，你们的神诚然是万神之神，万王之主，又是显明奥秘事的。
The king answered Daniel and said, Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret.
于是王高抬但以理，赏赐他许多上等礼物，派他管理巴比伦全省，又立他为总理，掌管巴比伦的一切责事。
Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon.
但以理求王，王就派撒德拉、米撒、亚伯尼哥管理巴比伦省的事务，只是但以理常在朝中侍立。
Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king.
这段经文很长哈。
It's a long passage.
但是就是把我们上一次第二章的讲的前半一部分故事，后半部分就整个的故事完整了。
But this complete the second half of the story that we talked about last time.
那这是圣经里面相当著名的一个预言哈。
It's a very famous prophecy in the Bible.
这个时候呢，大概是在公元前，就是主前啊、的时候发生，大概是600年左右的时候。
When this happened, historically, it was about 600 BC.
它预言了在那之后世界局势的变化。
Prophesized the empires that will rise and go.
一直到现在。
Until now.
我们就可以慢慢的来看看这个预言讲的是什么。
So we can take time to see what this prophecy is all about.
这个故事大概分成四个部分哈。
This passage can be divided into four parts.
从24节到28节是记述但以理去朝见巴比伦王。
Verse 24 to 28 describe Daniel's meeting with Nebuchadnezzar.
那么29节到36节则是他面述王所做的那个梦。
Verse 29 to 36, Daniel described the king's dream.
那37到45节则是来解释这个梦。
Verse 37 to 45, Daniel gave the interpretation of the dream.
那46到49节则是巴比伦王听到这个梦的一个反应。
Verse 46 to 49 was the response of the king Nebuchadnezzar.
这段经文的这段的故事这么长哈，重点是在第47节。
Although a long passage, but the key point is in verse 47.
那是借着巴比伦王的之口点出了这个故事的中心思想。
Through the mouth of Nebuchadnezzar, conveyed the key point of the story.
以色列的神乃是万神之神，万主之主。
The God of Israel is the God of gods and the Lord of kings.
而且乐意将奥秘事显明给世人。
And he is willing to reveal the secrets.
所以我们在解释这个故事之前，我们先来看看这个故事大概有三个人物出现哈。
So there are three main characters in the story.
那第一个是但以理。
The first is Daniel.
第二个就是带着但以理去见王的那个护卫长，他的名字叫亚略。
Arioch, the captain of the king's guard.
那第三个人就是巴比伦王啊。
And King Nebuchadnezzar.
我们知道巴比伦王非常想知道这个梦到底是什么意思啊。
We know that the king was so very eager to know the interpretation of the dream.
为此啊，他不惜大开杀戒，对不对？
And he threatened to kill all of the wise men.
因为这个关乎他王国的未来。
Because it is connected to the future of his kingdom.
因为那个时候啊，巴比伦王这个尼布甲尼撒他刚刚登基不久啊。
Because the king in Nebuchadnezzar was took the throne not for long.
他是雄心勃勃的啊。
Very ambitious.
他很想知道说他将来的事情会怎么样，他要扩展他的王国。
So he's eager to know the future of his kingdom and want to expand it.
我们看到这个护卫长亚略也是抓住这个机会啊。
The Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, also seized this opportunity.
我们看第25节，他跟巴比伦王怎么讲？他说：“我在被掳的犹太人中找到一个人。”
Verse 25, he said, "I found this man in the Judah captives."
实际上，我们从第二章的前面那段，我们知道不是他找的但以理，是但以理去找的他，对不对
？But reading chapter 2, we know that Daniel approached him first.
因为但是这时候他说，哎呀，我找到的这个人，哎呀，要能解决这问题，你给他升官也不要忘了把我也升上去就是。
But Arioch said, I found this man and hoping to take the credit and receive a reward.
其实啊，正如世界上所有的人一样，这两个人每天想的是自己的好处，对不对？
So like everyone in the world, they care about their own interests.
但是唯有这个故事但以理是个例外。
But Daniel was an exception.
我们看到第24节，他首先是挂念的什么？巴比伦的那些哲士，因为那个王威胁要把这些人都杀了啊。
Verse 24, we can see Daniel cared for the wise men of Babylon because they will be killed.
所以他说不要灭绝巴比伦的哲士。
He said, "Don't kill the wise men."
免得他们被杀。
Lest they be killed.
要知道这些哲士啊，既是但以理的同僚，也是他的竞争对手。
You know those astrologers and magicians are his colleagues and also competitors.
而且这些人是干什么的呢？都是这个拜偶像的、通灵术的、行邪术的等等。
And the profession of those people are idolaters or sorcerers.
那按照犹太人的律法，知道这些人都是神所憎恶的。
And according to the Jewish law, God hated those people who does these sins.
但是故事中的但以理很有怜悯之心哈。
But Daniel has a compassionate heart.
这一点就非常令人的信服。
We admire him.
而且不但如此，他也没有借着这个机会为自己去寻找好处哈。
And he does not seek his own interests.
他不是居功自傲。
He's not prideful.
所以我们看第27节，他就讲到说，这些个观照的、哲士、用法术的，他们等等都不能够告诉王。
So, in verse 27, it says all these wise men, astrologers, they cannot interpret the dream.
他下面那句话不是说，你看，就有我能告诉王，他不是这么讲的，对不对
？And Daniel did not boast himself.
他讲的什么？只有一位在天上的神 能显明奥秘的事。
Daniel said there is a God in heaven who will reveal the secrets.
看到这个很敬畏神的人啊。
Daniel feared the Lord.
那第三十节他又讲，至于那奥秘的事显明给我，并非因我的智慧胜过一切的人。
Verse 30, the secrets are revealed to me not because I am the, I have the most wisdom among the living people.
所以但以理啊，是一个非常谦卑的人啊。
He is humble.
他的心思啊，完全在神的意念上。
Because his mind is so focused on God's will.
正因为如此，他还可以不顾安危，那么成全了神的心意。
So he didn't consider his own safety, but choose to fulfill the will of God.
神的心意是什么呢
？What is God's will?
神的心意就像三十节后半节讲，他要使巴比伦王知道这个梦的含义。
God wants Nebuchadnezzar to know the interpretation of the dream.
所以这个故事啊，但以理是个英雄，在这个故事当中，没错。
Daniel indeed is a hero in the story.
但他不是这个故事的主角。
But he is not the main character.
这个故事的主角是巴比伦王。
The main character is Nebuchadnezzar.
因为神要把这个梦启示给他。
Because God wants to reveal this dream to him.
所以这样的话呢，不但是要使这个外邦的王知道这个啊，神给他这个梦的启示的意思哈。
Not only to reveal the interpretation of the dream to Nebuchadnezzar.
为的使他们能够知道以色列的神
，but also know that the God of Israel is the one true God.
我想这个目的达到了。最后，我们看到后半边，就是尼布甲尼撒王听到这个梦的解释以后，怎么样？他知道是真的，他马上就服服的敬拜神。
We see Nebuchadnezzar's response after the interpretation. He fell on his face and worshipped God.
所以巴比伦王呢，是煞费了苦心呢，他来琢磨他这个。怎么去巩固他的权力？他将来的王国会怎么样？
So the king of Babylon carefully planned for his kingdom, for it to last.
不过他的王国确实将来，在他在位的期间呢，扩展的非常大。
And his kingdom indeed expanded, during his reign.
他打败了埃及啊。
He defeated Egypt.
你要知道那个时候的埃及可是世界强国呀。像美国一样啊
，Egypt was the superpower of that time.
打败了埃及，以至于埃及那个法老都不敢再出来埃及了。
To a point that the king of Egypt can dare not to come out again.
所以整个巴比伦的王国成为当时人类历史上第一个世界性的强国。
So to a point that the Babylonian Empire becomes the one and only superpower during that time.
所以我们看到说，但以理呢，在这个故事当中，他是以神的意念为念啊。
So we see in the story that Daniel is mindful of God's will.
但是他在整个故事当中，我们看到说他不考虑自己，但是最后怎么样，他自己反而得到高升。
He did not consider his own benefits, but he was promoted.
那么巴比伦的王在想他的国度，想了半天，他的国度确实扩张了。但又怎么样呢？他的王国只持续了87年啊。
And although the Babylonian king carefully planned to expand his kingdom, but his kingdom only lasted for 87 years.
所以每一个王国都是这样，不论他多么的强大，但最后都有他终结的时候。
So no matter how strong and powerful those each kingdom is, they will end eventually.
但是但以理的神是没有偏见的。
The God of Daniel shows no partiality.
那么他恩待世人，也启示给世人他的真理。
But he is gracious to all and reveals the secrets.
那么关键是这个故事告诉我们，他掌管人类的命运。
And the story is to tell us God reigns the destiny of human.
其实啊，和巴比伦王一样，我们很多人都是在想自己的事情啊。
Just like the King Nebuchadnezzar, everyone is planning for themselves.
要知道人的策划呀，是终究未必全能实现的。
But there are many plans in man's heart which won't always go in their way.
有的时候就是实现了，也未必能够真正得到我们想要得到的东西啊。
And they won't always stand or bring satisfaction.
但是如果在神的计划下， 那个自我实现才是名副其实。
The self-realization can only be satisfactory when it follows God's plan.
那么以前有一个宣教士的话，他在年轻的时候他就跟神立下这个志向，他说要去海外做宣教哈。
There was a missionary, a guy, when he was young.
Not a guy, it's a lady.
Oh, the lady. she was determined to serve God as missionary in a foreign country.
你要知道，很奇怪哦，很多宣教士都是姐妹，不是弟兄。
Many missionaries are sisters.
这些姐妹她去宣教之后啊，她一生啊也没有结婚，然后在海外住了很多年。那么到她年老的时候，她就回到美国。
She stayed in a foreign country for many years and stayed single. And after many served many years, and she returned to the United States.
那到了美国，她就年纪比较大了，后来她身体就越来越弱啊。
She's a senior person and physically become more weaker.
那到她最衰老的时候，她是把她住在那个养老院里面啊，那个 nursing home 那些地方啊。
And ended up she lived in a nursing home.
那在那个地方的话，哎呀，他就因为他也没有亲人嘛，没有孩子，所以他就啊这个病痛就非常的辛苦啊。
She was physically weak and she doesn't have any children.
所以当教会的人去看他呢，他常常就会有从来不抱怨的人，就是到老的时候他就有些抱怨。
So when the church body visit her, sometimes she would complain.
他说他要求神就是把他接走。
She said she prayed that God will take her home.
那果然不久神就把他接走。
And it happened.
就是让他吸了地上的劳苦。
That she will suffer no more.
那不至于再经受这些疾病的折磨。
So that she won't suffer from the illness.
所以这个宣教士实际上走的是一条平平凡凡的道路的人生。
Her story is just ordinary.
但是神眷顾这样的人。
But God protect her.
所以我们当以神的意念为念。
So we should be mindful of God's mind.
那么当研读这段经文的时候，现在大家就想知道这个预言到底是什么哈？陈牧师已经讲了一半了，还没有说这预言是什么意思。
So when we read this prophecy, we are so curious to know what does it mean.
实际这段经文研读最大的挑战就是什么？就是过度解读这个预言。
The biggest challenge to understand this passage is try not to overinterpret the prophecy.
而忽略了我上面提到的这个中心的思想。
So that sometimes we overlook the theme of this scripture.
特别是预言未来的事情。
The prophecy about the future.
这个故事有些已经发生，有些还没发生。
Some has already happened, some haven't.
那么特别是讲到将来统治世界的这些霸权到底是怎么样。
Especially when talking about the empires that became the superpower of the world.
所以有些解经学家也是莫衷一是啊。
Theologians didn't reach a unanimous conclusion.
但是这些分歧呢，恰恰告诉我们了这个细节，这些细节不是预言的重点。
But their disagreements of the interpretations just showed us that these details are not the key point.
所以上帝启示我们呢，不是为了满足我们的好奇心。
God doesn't reveal the future to us to satisfy our curiosity.
那现在我们就来看看这个解释，这个梦和它的解释是怎么样的。
Now let's look at the dream and its interpretation.
按照但以理的解释，这个巨大的人像呢，是代表着四个从那个时代开始哈，但以理的时代未来统治世界的帝国。
The huge statue, the image reveals that there will be four empires, that rule over the world.
那这些帝国将会陆陆续续的兴起。
And they will rise one after another.
第一个的话呢，是金头，是代表的巴比伦王国。
The first empire is the head of fine gold represents Babylon.
这个在37节、38节呢，但以理已经讲清楚了，所以已经没有悬念了。
This is stated by the prophet Daniel in verse 37 clearly.
那么值得注意的就是在37节、38节，但以理特别的强调，你是这个金头，但是你要知道你的权柄是天上的神给的。
But it was mentioned twice in verse 37, 38 that your power to rule over the earth is given by God.
所以三十七节讲到赐给，三十八节讲到交付，然后使你掌管等等。但以理的重点是叫神在掌权。
God has given you a kingdom, and He gives them into your hand.
那么第二个王朝在巴比伦王国之后，那么我们现在已经知道这个事情已经发生了啊。
The second part is the kingdom after Babylon, and it already occurred.
那就是第二个帝国，就是银的胸膛和膀臂啊。
Chest and arms of silver.
这个就代表。在巴比伦之后兴起的马代波斯这个帝国
represents the rise of Medo-Persian dynasty.
那这是一个马代跟波斯两个、啊、民族组成的一个联合的帝国。
It's Medo and Persian, two nations combined.
那这第三个帝国呢是铜的杜甫和腰。
The third king empire is belly and waist of bronze.
我们知道马代波斯之后呢是兴起的是亚历山大。所兴起的希腊的帝国
refers to the Greek Empire that Alexander.
那这两个帝国啊，这个先知讲的非常的简单啊。
For these two kingdoms, the prophet simply mentioned them.
你看这两个国只用了一节经文就讲完了。
In one verse.
那而且没有详细说明哈。
And there is no elaboration.
这并不是说这两个帝国不重要哈。
It doesn't mean that these two kingdoms are not significant.
实际上这两个帝国啊疆域啊比巴比伦更大啊。
Actually, they outran Babylon.
而且呢他们持续的时间都比巴比伦时间更长。
They lasted longer than Babylon.
但是只是说这个不是预言的重点。
But it's not the key point of the prophecy.
重点在下面啊。
And the key point is that follows.
我们看到第四个帝国的话那么但以理是用了几节啊？四节经文啊。
The fourth kingdom was described in four verses.
显然这个帝国怎么样？比较重要。
Referring that this kingdom is more important.
那这个帝国呢，就是罗马帝国。
It is the Roman Empire.
它以铁来代表啊。
The legs of iron.
形容它非常的强大。
Very strong.
因为罗马帝国呢，基本上在主前二十七年哈。那个时候他已经、啊、把这个帝国整个的建立起来了。
The Roman Empire started 27 BC.
不但包括欧洲也包括非洲埃及也在他控制之下包括亚洲、啊。
And it spanned three continents, which were Europe, Asia, and Africa.
横跨三个大陆、啊。
Very powerful.
那么而且呢我们知道主耶稣降生的时候是在什么时候罗马帝国统治的时候
Jesus was born under the rule of Roman Empire.
新约圣经是在什么时候成书的呢？就是在这个时期成书的。
The New Testament was written during this period.
那么教会是什么时候建立的和扩张呢？就是在这个时候建立的跟扩展。
And the church was established and expanded during this period.
所以我们知道罗马帝国非常重要嘛。
So we know the Roman Empire is significant.
而这个罗马帝国确实是像这个先知所预言的，它后来会分裂哈。
And as it is prophesized, the Roman Empire was divided.
因为第四十一讲到那国将来也必分开哈。
Verse 41, the kingdom shall be divided.
因为历史上从来没有一个帝国像罗马帝国有这么庞大的地盘。
Historically, there is none that compared to Roman Empire.
那么，但是有。不同的民族不同的种族各种信仰都混杂在一起就像这里讲的一样
mixed by different people, different nations, and different religion
那么这里面罗马帝国分开的时候是在主后395年、啊、
The Roman Empire was divided in 395 AD
这个时候呢就是分开之后就分成西罗马帝国跟东罗马帝国
It was divided to Western Rome and Eastern Rome
那么西罗马帝国呢是占据欧洲这个地方
Western Rome possessed the Europe
那么他们是信奉罗马天主教、啊、后来
They belong to the Roman Catholic
那直到476年
Until 476
那么东罗马帝国是占据现在土耳其这个地方
The Eastern Rome became Turkey
他们信奉希腊东正教、啊、
They followed the Greek Orthodox.
一直到1453年
Until the year 1453.
那是到十五世纪了
15th century.
而且我们看到现在的局势基本上就是罗马帝国分裂之后的这些小小的国家。
And you see the European countries, it is evolved from the divided Roman Empire.
所以呢，这个是有铁的，有泥的，有强的，有弱的啊。
There are a mixture of iron, clay, some strong, others are weak.
这种趋势一直影响到现在。
And this still has its lasting impact.
所以这个预言呢，就是告诉我们，上帝是主宰人类历史。
The prophecy showed us that God reigns over the human history.
帝国兴衰，世界的风云变化啊。
The different empires rise and fall.And the world may change.
那么掌权者呢，或者是叱咤风云啊，不可一世。
And the people with great power, has its power.
但是一切都是过眼的烟云啊。
But they come and go.
所以呢，我们看到现今的时代，我们就不会被世界上的事情啊，发生的事情啊，摇来摆去的啊。
So knowing this that God reigns, we won't be affected.
那么我们最近的中文主日学呢，在讨论基督教伦理的这些个内容哈。
The Chinese Sunday School, we've been discussing the some ethic questions.
那这些呢，就是我们刚才讲的，像是同性恋婚姻的啊、堕胎问题啊等等等等。
Such as the same-sex marriage and abortion.
这些都是当今美国。争论非常激烈的一些话题
Very controversial moral issues
所以我们不必为这些争论的问题啊患得患失
So we don't have to worry or debate too much about them
或许我们现在所坚持的在将来不会被人家所认可
Maybe there will be someday that the moral standards we hold on to is no longer agreed
或者说我们现在所相信的将来就不会被人家所重视
Or what we believe one day will no longer be valued.
但是我们要知道，人类的命运是在上帝的掌握之中。
But we have to know that the destiny of all human is still in the palm of God.
最近我看了中国制作的一些动漫电影哈。
Recently, I watched some anime that was made by China.
其中有一部叫《哪吒之魔童降生》啊，
哪吒 ，a devil boy。
那这个呢，据说啊，是在中国啊，这个非常卖座，它成为了历史上最卖座的动漫电影。
One of the best-selling movie in China。
我就看了一下，也发现确实，哎呀，中国这个动漫的制作。是比以前进步了很多。
The animation is developed a lot.
但在这个技术上可以说啊，跟日本的动漫、跟迪士尼的动漫，跟说差别不是特别大了。
Comparable to the Japanese and Disney movies.
这部电影2019年卖出来的时候，在中国啊，是成为最卖座的动漫电影，是非常热门的。
It was the best-selling animation.In China in 2019.
特别他们把这电影还送来参加这个奥斯卡的这个啊这个金像奖的角逐。
And they're one of the input for the Academy Award.
不过第一轮这就给刷下去了。
But they didn't enter the second round.
其实我一看这电影我觉得制作水平不错但是它里面的哲学思想就是有问题。
The technology, the animation was awesome.
他把
the philosophy behind
他把哪吒的故事改了哈，变成了一个变成一个这个恶魔的这个降生的这个哪吒了，跟以前我们听的哪吒不太一样。
The story of Ngozha is changed. It's very different. Into a devil boy came into the world.
那么这里他讲的一句话呢，这个哪吒就是他的中心思想是什么？我命在我不在天。
It says, "My destiny is in my hand. Is not controlled by God."
Yeah, 他说他这个虽然是一个魔王的这个灵魂降世的话，但他最后变成一个好的，可以这个拯救 啊，拯救这人类的。
And the message was, although Nergal is evil, but he will eventually save the world.
所以很多的这个片子里面体现出那种思想，就可以体现出现在中国大陆那种人心浮躁的那种状态来。
Which reflects the mainstream voice of the China.
你像所有迪士尼这些个动漫，它这个杰作啊，你像这个狮子王啊 ，Lion King 啊。
But if you look at the Disney movie like Lion King.
或者是木兰呢、啊，或者是这个功夫熊猫啊等等。
Or Mulan or Kung Fu Panda.
它所体现的都是人类公认的那种勇敢、善良、正义战胜邪恶的那种价值观的。
It conveys the core message is always the good always defeat the evil.
所以这就为什么这些影片会有它的价值。
That's the value of those movies.
所以啊，我们的命运不是在我们的手里，是在神的手里。
Our destiny is always in the hands of God, not in our own hands.
不但是我们个人，而且整个世界的命运，人类的命运是在神的手里。
The destiny of each individual, of the whole world, of human race, are in the God's hands.
所以我们知道了这一点呢，我们的心呢，就会平静，不会为周围的事情的变化翻来覆去的话，我们就没有了定心哈。
Knowing this hopefully will bring us peace, no matter how rapidly the world is changing.
那为什么呢？我们来接下看这个预言的最后一部分哈。
Let's look at the last part of the prophecy.
这个预言的重点呢，就是在这四个帝国之外，天上的神他还要兴起第五个帝国。
The key point appeared here. Apart from the four empires, God will raise up a fifth empire.
所以四十四节讲到这个国的话呢，与众不同。
Verse 44 says this kingdom is different.
你看，它不是用金银铜铁这些个金属来代表。
It is not metaphorized as gold, silver, bronze, or iron.
它是用石头来做比喻的。
But a stone.
而且这个石头啊，三十四节告诉我们是非人手所凿出来的石头。
A stone that was cut out without hands.
这是什么意思呢
？What does it mean?
它是讲到这个石头所代表的这个王国，那是从神而来，它具有神的属性。
This shows that this stone has the attributes of God.
是跟前面的那些帝国完全不一样的。
It's radically different from all the previous kingdoms.
那么现在在这个预言之后，我们现在知道这个石头代表谁？代表耶稣基督，对不对？
Now we know that this stone represents Jesus Christ.
那预表着将来要降临的是上帝的国度。
Representing the kingdom of God that will come.
所以这第五个国度就是圣经新约圣经告诉我们是上帝的国度。
So this fifth kingdom represents God's kingdom.
那么圣经里有时也讲是天国哈。
Kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. 那么首先我们来看这个上帝的国度有五个特点，这里讲到哈。
The fifth kingdom has five characteristics.
那么首先它与历史上所有世界的霸权是不一样的。
Firstly, it is nothing like all the earthly power in history.
那我们知道现在啊，自从罗马帝国垮台之后，世界上就再也没有一个帝国是什么成为像罗马帝国那样的世界霸权了。
Since the Roman Empire divided, there is no nation, no kingdom just like as powerful as Roman.
那么只有将来这个上帝的国度将会是这样。
But the kingdom of God will be.
这是上帝所立的国。
This is the kingdom of God.
那么其次，这一国呢，不但会把怎么样？我们看到这个石头啊，不但把人像的脚砸得粉碎哈。
Then secondly, the kingdom struck the feet of the statues.
而且呢，它会灭绝以往所有的帝国。
And destroy all these kingdoms.
因为四十四节它讲到打碎、灭绝那一切的国。
Verse 44, well, this kingdom will.Break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms.
三十五节讲，他们就被风吹散，无处可寻了。
They will be scattered like by the wind.
那么，这就是第二个特点。第三个特点说，这个国呢将成为历史上 独一无二的王国。
And this kingdom will be a unique kingdom and ruling the world.
因为他想统治全球哈。
Ruling the whole earth.
我们知道，虽然像巴比伦、马代波斯、希腊、罗马这些帝国是个全球性的帝国。
Like the Babylonian and Mede and Persian, the empire is rule over the earth.
但是他并不没有统治全球全世界哈。
But they didn't rule all over the human race.
那么将来的这个国度将是这样，因为三十五节讲他要成为大山，充满天下。
But this kingdom, verse 35 says, will become a great mountain and fill the whole earth.
那么第四个特点就是这个国度将是永恒的。
The fourth characteristic, this kingdom will be eternal.
因为它要存到永远。
It shall stand forever.
这国不像以前的帝国。
It is nothing like the previous empire.
以前的帝国呢，兴起，然后就会衰亡，都会被另外一个国家取代。
They will rise and they will fall and replace by others.
那么但以理的解释已经说它不会被其他的帝国所取代。
And Daniel said, it will never be replaced.
因为这国不归别国，而且永不败坏。
For this kingdom shall not be left to other people.
那它第五个特点是讲到说，预言这里说这个国的出现什么？必然会实现。
The fifth point is this kingdom will come for sure.
所以但以理说这梦是准的。
Daniel said the dream is certain.
那么他的讲解是确实的。
His interpretation is sure.
所以以色列的国当时虽然已经灭亡了。
Although the kingdom of Israel already perished.
但是上帝的国必将会降临。
But the kingdom of God will come.
而且会存到永远。
And it shall stand forever.
我想这个预言所传达的这个信息对当时流亡在巴比伦的以色列人是很大的鼓舞。
I think this revelation is very encouraging for those Israelites in exile.
这个对我们今天的基督徒啊，也是一个很大的勉励。
Also encouraging for Christians today.
因为我们知道我们生活在一个后基督教的时代，对不对？
We live in a post-Christian world.
所以这个社会与基督教的价值观是渐行渐远。
The values of the world is drifting way further from the Christianity.
那么对待这样一个啊，生活在这样一个环境下，我们啊，基督徒的反应应该是怎么样
？So how should our response be living in such a hostile world?
啊，最近几年我们就发现，在基督教内有一股极端的保守势力的兴起哈。
Recently, we noticed that there is an extreme conservative group emerged.
那这个大有淹没这个主流啊基督教这个声音的趋势。
And they turn to overturn the mainstream voice of in the Christian community.
所以他们主张一种基督化的美国。
They advocate for a Christianized America.
就是要把基督教的道德价值观以法律的形式。啊，那么就是，来加在这个国家的这个系统上。
They attempt to enforce the Christian values to this country through laws.
那么以这种方式来抵挡这个日益败坏的这个社会哈。
Hoping to resist the corrupted society.
那么我们在中文主日学讨论到堕胎问题的时候，我们都讨论过这些问题啊。
In Sunday school, we have discussed these issues.
那么娇玲姐妹当时就分享的很好哈，她说这些人他已经是不信主的，他自然他就要堕胎去了，是不是
？We have a sharing that those unbelievers are they don't believe, so of course they will go for abortion.
你不可能把这些东西强加在他的头上。
You cannot enforce these Christian values on them.
这些人他不信神的人。
Because they don't believe God.
他就是有这种性自由、性开放的。
So they enjoy this sexual freedom.
所以这种情况呢，多少反映了哈，这种我们对这个这种出现的这个情况的一种恐惧心理哈。
So their solution somehow reflects Christians' fear of this rapid social change.
所以我们要思想说，上帝的心意是什么？
So we need to ponder what is God's will.
上帝对我们现在生活在美国基督徒的心意，是不是让我们要建立一个基督化的美国
What is God's will for us Christians living in America? Does he give us the commission to build a Christianized America?
还是说他对我们有不一样的心意？
Or his commission for us is different.
我们如果相信上帝必然会掌握这个整个人类的命运的话，
If we do believe that God is in control of human's destiny,
所以即使处在我们现在目前这个啊比较不利的状况下哈，
Even living in this hostile world,
我们更要以神的意念为念。
We should take God's will as our mind.
我有个很好的朋友哈。
I have a good friend.
那么因为彼此也是主内的弟兄姐妹，所以都有这么多年都很多的沟通哈。
And we're brothers in Christ, so we stayed in touch over the years.
不过最近呢跟他的联系都越来越少。
But now we speak less.
因为讲起来的话彼此好像有点不大对口哈。
Because we found conflicts in our conversation.
那么就在那个一月六日，大家知道那个时候啊选举之后，他彼此就有分享嘛，他就去了这个华盛顿去游行的哈。
He joined the protest in DC on January 6th.
很好的一个基督徒。
He's a good Christian.
很好的一个弟兄。
A good brother.
但是就变得非常的激烈和极端哈。
But he became very extreme.
就是想要改变，以这种强烈的方式要改变目前美国的现状。
Want to change the status quo of America.
所以这个时候真的我们要知道说，我们读到但以理的这个启示，就是告诉我们神掌管一切。
So Daniel's story tell us that God is in control.
我们知道在整个的社会中这种趋势是越来越强，而且会持续下去的时候。
We know this corruption trend in the world is gonna continue.
我们不会就是不会惊慌啊。
So that we don't have to panic.
因为我们知道什么？上帝掌管人类的命运。
We know that God has almighty sovereignty over the earth.
这些事情必然会发生的。
And those things will definitely for sure it's gonna happen.
但是神的国也终将有一天在地上建立起来。
But God's kingdom will come and will be established on earth.
关键是我们要持守我们的信仰。
So the key is hold on to our faith.
我们要站立得稳。
Stand firmly.
那么我们当以神的意念为念。
Be mindful of God's will.
那在有一个非常著名的心理学家哈。
There is a famous psychology.
那么他是奥地利人。
Psychologist, Austrian.
那他的名字叫 Victor, 是维克多弗兰克。
His name is Viktor Frankl.
Frankl. Yeah. 那他呢是出生在奥地利的一个犹太的家庭。
He was a Jewish man born in Austria.
那他们家里面是其实蛮贫穷的。
In a poor family.
但是呢他非常出色啊。
But he is an excellent man.
那他后来呢就是考取了这个医学院的博士。
Got a PhD in a medical school.
MD.
MD.
那么后来他也拿到一个 PhD.
And then later on he got a PhD as well.
那他就是做医生嘛，后来他又开了这个精神的科的这个诊所。
And then he is a doctor and he started his own clinic.
那个时候啊，正是纳粹德国在欧洲最最鼎盛的时期。
But that time was during the German, in its prime time.
那因为他们家都是犹太人，所以都全部被抓到这个监狱里面去了。
And because they're Jewish, so his entire family was captured in the concentration camp.
在那些集中营里面，他们都是受尽了很多的折磨。
And they were tortured.
那后来啊， 他的父母都死在集中营。
Both of his parents were died in the camp.
那么他的妻子也死在集中营。
So was his wife.
那么他呢？幸免于难，因为他是医生，那觉得还比较有用，所以没有把他杀死。
Because he was a doctor, so he survived because they think he is useful.
那么当他这个二战胜利之后，他出来之后。他才发现，因为他们都关在不同的地方，他才知道他家里的人呢，除了他有一个妹妹移民到澳大利亚，没有还活着外，其他所有的人全部死了。
So at the end of the war, when he was released from the camp, he realized that he only has a little sister and himself is the only two survivors in his entire family.
所以当他在集中营的时候，他就有坚强的信念说。他可以活下去。
He has this strong belief that he can survive in the camp.
后来啊，他就发明了这种叫这个意义治疗法，叫 logotherapy 啊。
Then later on he invented this logotherapy.
那么他就为这个写了一本书啊，这本书叫《活出意义来》啊。
And he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning.
那么这个成为非常畅销的一本书，1946年出版。
Bestseller published in 1946.
那这个书里就记载了他在集中营的经历，他所遇到的那些人，那些人对于面对这个逼迫所有的不同的反应等等。
Recorded his experience in the camp, the people he met there and their attitudes towards all those sufferings.
他从这个他的这集中营里的经历中来发展出这种意义治疗法。
And his therapy is actually originated from his experience in the concentration camp.
那就是说，你如果要找出你生命的意义来，你不论在什么样的情况下，你都有勇气可以活下去。
If you are willing to find to search for the meaning of your life, you should have the courage to live to survive no matter what.
所以弟兄姐妹，我们当以神的意念为念。
So, brother and sister, we should take up the mind of God's will.
神在这个时代赋予我们生命什么样的意义呢？
What is our calling that God entrusted in our lives?
让我们每一个人都像弗朗克医生一样，能够活出意义来。
Hopefully that every one of us, like brother Frankel, will live out the meaning of our life.
让我们一起低头祷告。
Let's bow our head and pray.
天父上帝，我们感谢你的恩典。
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace.
因为你是启示奥秘事的神。
Because you are the one who reveal the secrets.
主，你将这世界的未来之事启示给我们。
Lord, you revealed the future of this world to us.
为的是让我们在你面前存着谦卑的心。
So that we will be humble before you.
因为你是万神之神，万王之主。
Because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Hosts.
让我们在你面前，我们心存敬畏的心。
Give us a humble and fearful heart before you.
不论周围的环境如何。
No matter how the environment will be.
我们相信主，你是掌管一切的神。
We believe that God, you are in control.
愿但以理的故事能够激励我们在座的每一个人。
We pray that Daniel's story will be encouragement for all of us.
我们能够活出生命的意义来。
And we'll live out the meaning of our life.
愿你的心意能够在我们身上成全。
May your will be done in our life.
愿主能够借着我们能够见证福音的大能。
May you use us to witness the power of the gospel.
也愿主祝福你的教会
，and Lord bless your church，
能够在 Slow 这个地方成为一盏明灯
，so that we will be the light in this area。
愿主的国度早日降临
，May your kingdom come。
愿你的旨意行在地上，如同行在天上
，May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven。
我们这样的祈求祷告，奉靠耶稣基督名求。
We pray all this in your Son Jesus' name。
阿门。
Amen。